Welcome to our fourth season of the Embodiment for the Rest of Us podcast, a series exploring topics and intersections that exist in fat, queer, and disability liberation and beyond. You can consider this an anti-oppressive and generative space full of repair and intention.
In this podcast, we interview those with lived experience and professionals alike to learn how they are affecting radical change and how we can all make this world a safer and more welcoming place for all humans who are historically and currently marginalized and should be centered, listened to, and supported.
Captions and content warnings are provided in the show notes for each episode, including specific timestamps so that you can skip triggering content anytime that feels supportive to you. This podcast is a representation of our co-host and guest experiences and may not be reflective of yours. These conversations are not medical advice and are not a substitute for mental health or nutrition support.
In addition, the conversations held here are not exhaustive in their scope or levels of inquiry. These topics, these perspectives are not complete and are always in process. These are just highlights. Just like posts on social media, individual articles, or any other podcast, this is just a snapshot of the full picture.
We are always interested in any feedback on this process, especially if you feel something needs to be addressed. We invite you to email us at listener, listener, at embodimentfortherestofus.com with any comments, requests, or concerns. Hello, and welcome to the fourth season of Embodiment for the Rest of Us, the podcast. Yes, yay. Ooh. I can't believe we're in a fourth season yet. Here we are.
Somehow.
It's going fast, but it's also going slow. I like that mix.
Mm-hmm. We've made a lot of changes this season, including publishing monthly on the first Thursday of each month and making ourselves sweaty nervous, asking some incredible guests we deeply admire to help us expand these conversations. Mm. A lot of this has to do with our words of the year for 2024. Let's explore them. Jen, what's your word or words for the year?
Exactly. You know me. Of course, I have more than one. Siobhan and I played around with our words of the year from a Morgan Harbor Nichols, like one of those things that flashes between images and you take a screen cap to see which one is yours. And so mine was resonance. And I actually did it like three times and it was still resonance. It's just all, it's always resonance. So I was like, okay, that resonates. So resonance for me is like, it's like a synonym for like some of my most important values, like curiosity and interest. Like what resonates? Let's follow that. It just helps me stay intuitive. It helps me stay more relaxed. It helps me find more of a sense of peace within myself. And it helps me be more available to other people without feeling drained. Like what resonates is a really nice thread for me to follow. Mm-hmm. So I love that. And of course, I have a second word because I, when I am in session with clients, right? So I'm bringing on a new wave of people and, I just know that I'm paying attention to what I've been saying and I have been talking about functionality, right? Mm-hmm. Like tangible accessibility, reach out and literally grab it type stuff. But mostly this is inspired by Casey Davis's book, How to Keep House While Drowning, a very lovely, very short 80-page book. Casey doesn't know I'm talking about them, but it's one of the most recommended books by me in helping people support an intuitive relationship with anything. And I just re-listened to it myself. I own the book. I have the audiobook. I just like absorbed it again. And she gives incredible permission for a space that you occupy being functional for you. What's the point of a house if it's not functional for you, right? If you're like, this area of my house stresses me out, change it, make it functional for you. So I'm going to be moving in the middle of this season-ish. And so I need things to be functional where I am. I'm in a pretty cluttered space because we're like transitional. We always have been in the house that we're in. So we're going to have our own house. And so I don't want a bunch of things to go to that house. It's literally next door, everyone. So I don't have to move very far, but
it's still a lot of stuff though. It's hard. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But like, I just want them to exist here. So I'm like, trash it, recycle it, donate it. I have, I have ADHD. So my momentum about goals like get rid of a trash bag a week, like that's where I first landed, has not been that effective. So words, like a word like functional that I basically repeat it to myself while I'm doing the task. Is like how my office is about to be a shared space in the evenings. And so I'm like, what can go? What's now functional for this shared space? I'm going to have an office that does not have a bed in it in the new house because there's an extra room. And so like what will be functional there is different than what's functional here, but it's just really supportive to me. And it also resonates, like the words go nicely together. You know, if I'm going to be in this space of justice and liberation and intuition, I don't know, there's this new place where it lands differently for me and resonates for me differently and functions for me differently. So it feels really powerful. I'm also noticing, so this episode is going to air the first Thursday of February here in 2024. Mm-hmm. And later that month, I will have my 10-year soberversary, right?
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you. So just like sitting in the spaciousness of that and all the things I've gained in the last 10 years and then things I've lost lovingly in the last 10 years and just like how it feels to inhabit my body without alcohol in it is pretty powerful for me. Like to have something as simple as resonance and functionality like sit for me is just like mind-blowing in itself. And it also leans towards what I'm interested in, training other people, webinars, things that you are in, and I are in talks with people about. Having interns, supervising, getting back to that kind of energy. I really like that energy. I like that space. That also feels like it matches because I want to encourage that in other people too and take pressure off. Mm-hmm. So just, yeah, what resonates? What's functional? Feels like questions I can ask myself.
Wow.
So those are all my words for my words.
No, I love them. And I think that resonance and functional goes so well hand in hand. And I don't think I ever would have seen that connection, seen that relationship if you hadn't explained it that way. It makes complete sense. If things are functional, it's going to resonate for you. And if things resonate for you, it's going to end up being functional in some way. I think that's beautiful. Really remarkable.
It's simpler. Complex and complicatedness is becoming less and less interesting to me over time because the world's already full of it. And that's one of the ways in which like our societies are extremely oppressive. And so it just kind of bores me. It's like, I got bored with the complicated stuff. So these sit in a place that's not that, right? Even if it's not the whole opposite in terms of simplicity, it's still somewhere else in that direction.
I love that. I think these are perfect words for you. I'm really excited.
Thank you. And you know, I like, you know, this book, this How to Keep a House While Drowning, I listen to it while I start to find my like rhythm and momentum for trying to make a space more functional. Like it's constant permission giving.
Yeah.
Right. Like there's only five things in any room. I'm like, what do you mean there's only five things in any room? Oh, I guess I'll start with the five things. Right. Like there's, and of course, because I'm a nerd, I also have, and this is not an advertisement. I'm just showing Siobhan. Oh, where is it? Oh, here it is. They have these amazing room resets, charts for grownups. So these are stickers that I'm going to put on magnets, but this one is a room reset. It's all the thing. There's only five things in a room and all the other tasks I can do.
Oh my gosh.
And closing duties, right? Like a body respect. How do you now help tomorrow you? Aren't these amazing? I can send you the link, Siobhan.
Yeah, because I'm going to buy that today. Yeah. So I'm good. Like, what?
For functionality, if I can play with something like a magnet and I have a magnetic space here in this room, as well as like our main fridge, I can and you can just move things. I think the charts are like you move things from one side to the other. So I can just like move them. You don't have to do the same ones. You can reset them. It's very functional. Mm-hmm. And when it's like gamified, it resonates for me.
Yes. I was going to say, I wonder if it also will give that dopamine hit that you get.
Oh, it does.
Of like checking things off. And yes, absolutely. And it's very tactile. I really like that.
I love tactile.
I really, really like that.
That hand eye.
Yes, absolutely.
And there's like a different space of resonance in that because, you know, I am an adult diagnosed person with neurodivergence and I didn't get to play around with stuff like that or understand that I might need a support like that when I was a kid. And so it feels like I'm playing with multiple versions of myself at once. And so I'm like resonating across the versions of myself. It's very healing. Really, really healing.
That's fantastic.
And it's only an 80-page book. Well, I mean, everything by Casey Davis is amazing. Someday we will have to have Casey Davis on the podcast. I'm just going to say it because that would scare the shit out of me, but I would totally take it on.
Love that manifestation. Yeah.
Everything they say, I admire. They're really thoughtful and intentional human being.
I only knew about this one book, so I'll definitely have to look into them even more, which I haven't read, but also other things that I haven't read. I'm really excited about it.
3-hour audiobook, and I listen to things at very fast speed. So it's more like an hour and a half to 2 hours because my brain's too fast. So, well, not too fast, faster. It's faster. Okay. So those are my words about my words, right? Like I'm actually even noticing that it feels functional for me and it resonates like right now as I'm saying it. It's a really cool real-time experience that has been fleeting in my life. But I become really curious and interested in real-time experiences that actually support me.
Wow. I love that. And you deserve that. And I think I can't wait to see how that'll change things.
Yeah. For you. Absolutely. And this is also thank you to all my therapists that have existed in my life, especially my current therapist who will be on the podcast this season. Can't wait. We did Siobhan's therapist. Now we're doing mine. Like just a support for understanding why things feel the way they feel and why we might need what we need is so grounding for me. It's amazing. So it's great. I'm really enjoying hearing myself talk about this, which makes me feel like a conceited snot, but like, I don't mean it that way at all. I mean, like, it's just nice to feel and think in concert and have them feel really similar and like a match. That's been very fleeting. So it's fun to access. Right. Even before this, I was like, Siobhan, I already have everything prepared. I'm totally organized. Here's our task. And we're like, who are you, Jen? Like, I don't know. I guess I'm a more relaxed me. And I guess this is what it's like.
It's beautiful. It's such a great thing to witness.
I've been trying to achieve this through anxiety and stress, but it didn't work. It's really simple now that I'm just doing it like relaxed. Yeah. So how about you? Yeah. What's your word for the year? Or words if other words come up. I'm just curious about your word.
Yeah. So I also did this exercise via Morgan Harper Nichols' post because Jen sent it to me. I got preparation twice and I said, absolutely not.
Completely. No.
I was like, I don't want it. I'm just rebuking it. But I did sit with it a little bit and so on New Year's Eve, my husband and I, we have a tradition where we listen to our top songs like on Amazon or Spotify, whichever one we are using. And then we do a jigsaw puzzle because we're just old nerds and I love it. But that's what we do on New Year's Eve.
Because you're adorable.
It's so much fun. And so we were talking about like what we were looking forward to this year, what we had learned in 2023. And I said, 2023 was a lot in some ways. But in the way that it's ending, it feels like I'm in a really good space. Things feel really comfortable. Things feel really like they're moving in the right direction. I was like, just some fine tuning. So I was like, maybe. And like the next day I was like, I guess maybe it's attunement. And I wasn't sure that I was texting you, of course, about it. And then I pulled a tarot card and it was the Hierophant. I never know if I say that word right.
No clue.
Hierophant. Cool. Yeah. I'm always like, but that card and I was like, fine. Okay. I'm going with it because there are different, obviously interpretations, but for me, what came up was like this creation of how things need to be. And to me, that's attunement. Things are in a really good space. There's a few things that just feel like they need a little bit of fine tuning in my career and my personal life and relationships, et cetera, et cetera. But so attunement has been the word. And yesterday I had therapy and talked about this and talked about how I felt like I was in this place of inertia. And she said, maybe it's not inertia. Maybe it's just that you are working on your stick-to-itiveness because I love starting new things. I love starting a new podcast. I love hiring new staff. I love starting a new project. And then, things kind of fall off.
Yeah.
So to me, that's my attunement right now, is like kind of sticking with things and seeing things through a little bit more, which I realize as I'm speaking out loud is kind of like preparation. Like I'm just preparing to keep going.
Yes.
So that's kind of where I am this year. So I love where my life is. I'm turning 40 this year. I'm excited about it. I am like, I feel like I've been 40 for a while. Like I'm on this.
Yeah, we can't wait to have you in the 40s. We've been missing
you. I'm so ready. Like, let's just do this. Mm-hmm. So it just feels like a place of attunement and kind of finding my better groove, even though I feel like I'm in a groove right now. Mm. So that's kind of where it's going. And even in the podcast, it's showing up because.
Yes, it is.
We realized we were doing a little too much last year because we started the year not doing what we thought we'd be doing by the end. Yes, we definitely took on a lot of stuff. So now it's just attuning how to make the podcast work for us and continue to be something that we love, something that I love, something that is a dream come true every time I get to be a part of it. So attunement, and I guess in turn, preparation in some way to continue doing it. Yeah. You know, I was like, absolutely not. And I'm like, oh, all right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The practicalities of things are not necessarily a dopamine boost.
Yes.
And they are still supportive to other dopamine boosts. Mm-hmm. So that made me want to ask you a question. Do you feel like entering 2024 and the start of 2024, you're more yourself than ever? Because that's kind of what I was hearing you say.
Absolutely. Yeah. I have never felt so comfortable in my own skin, comfortable in my own way of interacting with this world. Absolutely. And it's such a gift. Which I hear is what 40 is about.
Yes, it is. Oh my gosh. You're absolutely right. Yeah. Ooh, attunement might be a really good word for the whole decade. I'm going to ponder that. You were reminding me about intuition, instincts, intuitiveness, that people often talk about. And this comes like even from the intuitive eating book. Honestly, they come from a place of saying, just find those instincts. Like they're already there. Mm-hmm. But we have to tune into them. We have to practice with them. It's quite a slog, actually. We have to get practical before things feel intuitive. Mm-hmm. You know, we're born with survival instincts, but we're supposed to learn the rest. Like, we don't just like, we're not gifted with them at birth. Like, we have to actively learn them, be, you know, mirroring people around us and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I also love that, because you know you're taking on supervisory roles, right? We've talked where you've said, oh my gosh, I don't know if I could be a supervisor, which is a totally normal thing to think before you are a supervisor, right? Like I have no experience, so I don't know what it's going to feel like,
right?
And I said to you, you're a great supervisor, like I already know, right? And you are a great supervisor, right? But I can hear it's because you're tuning into yourself. And actually that's really similar to what I'm thinking about my words, is that I also feel like more myself than I've ever felt like that. It's a lot. I was telling you earlier, it's a lot calmer inside of myself. So I can actually pay attention to it instead of running away. That's really helpful. Again, thank you, therapy. Like there's like, there's just a lot of, I mean, spaciousness and expansiveness. We talk about those two words almost more than anything else, but I was just noticing that it has a really similar feeling to what we mean when we talk about those words, the way we're talking about our words of the year. And this is the second year in a row that you and I have done words of the year together, or is it the third? I can't remember. At least two.
I think it's probably second.
I can't remember.
Third.
I think it's our third. Second. I think it's our third, because I think the first time you and I both had a bunch of words and we weren't sure. But then last year we were absolutely sure. Yes. And then this year we're also sure. I was a hot mess in 2022, so that just makes sense. Right? And it's like a beautiful addition to like us exploring things together. Like last year, your word from the year before of rest, like became such a huge part of our podcast, just sort of noticing that like there's a lot of, again, spaciousness and expansiveness. I was going to try to find new words, but those are just the words I want.
But they're the best words. They and you always best words. Come back to words that are very... going to say are very expansive. That's not helpful, but
I'm very good at defining a word with the word that it's actually it's a talent I have, right? Like in high school English, you're like, you can't define a word with the word, and I'm like, but it's really
that's what it is. That's what it does.
Yeah, expansion is very expansive. I mean, it is. Right. But like part of our growth as people, part of growing the conversations we want to have, part of exploring things together and experimenting is going to require a lot of spaciousness and expansiveness. humbleness, like, jumped into the year last year, right?
Yeah.
Some, I don't remember, at the beginning of the round, I was like, I love being humbled. I really do love being humbled. There's really challenging things that come from that, but also it's like, you get to slough off these layers that were like, nah, that one wasn't me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like that.
100%. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
I like that a lot.
I'm excited for us. Yeah.
Me too. You know, I'm just reading what I wrote here. Like, this is so parallel with our journeys as we learn and unlearn. Like, yes, I agree. And we've also noticed themes, like who we're asking to come on the podcast. We've actually had quite a few intentional conversations before each of the beginnings of a season of like how we would like to foster the conversations we want to have and then enhance them and scare ourselves with the sweaty nervousness of asking people that we greatly admire. And themes have emerged in that, and those are disability and neurodiversity, right? Things that we're often exploring. I'm definitely exploring those two. And their relationship with each other. So I wanted to talk about that. And I'm curious what shows up with you in around disability and neurodiversity, which, I mean, neurodiversity can be a disability. I also mean disability that includes physicality that is outside of neurodivergence, although neurodivergence has a physicality, right? Like hypermobility is a form of neurodivergence, for example.
Yeah.
Right? Just like exploring the areas in the margins and in oppressive spaces that we are trying to have different conversations about is also part of this.
Yeah. This is such a great question because you wrote it, but also it's a great question. I think exactly what you said. I really like being humbled too. And I really felt humbled when, in talking about this season, you brought up how much more you want to do work around disability. And it's encouraged me, forced me, honestly, to be more aware of my inherent ableism. I never would call myself ableist. I wouldn't, that wouldn't have been something that I would have said, like, that's who I am, but there, it's just there. And I think often now I'm feeling sweaty because I'm like calling myself out, calling myself out. But
this is a safe place to call yourself out. We've made it so.
If I don't think about it, that typically means I need to think about it. I need to have more of a conversation about it. Absolutely. I need to have more awareness of how I play into it. And I think that I feel really encouraged to do that. So I'm really excited. Not that it's anyone's job to educate me, but I'm excited to have conversation about it. I'm excited to do my own education, learning and unlearning, right? So when it comes to disability, I feel really excited about learning more. I feel very aware of how I didn't think of it enough, maybe because of my own level of ability. It's just been really sitting with me since you brought it up. And I'm really excited about that. And I think in terms of neurodiversity, I know when we first met, you had just, if you hadn't just gotten diagnosed with ADHD, you had been on
I did like 2 months after
you. I was going to be, you were just on the cusp of being it. Yeah. Yeah. It was like right around there.
I was waiting for my appointment when we met. Yeah.
Like, you've been a part of my life so long. I'm like, is it the before after time? But, I definitely personally pushed against learning more about it because I wasn't ready to admit that that's a part of my life too. And so which is, again, internalized ableism, but I've just got a lot to learn this year. But I'm really excited to kind of delve into that too and how that can play into the intersections of living in fat bodies or just existing in a world that is completely hampered by diet culture and weight discrimination. So I'm really excited to see how those interact with each other, how they're a part of each other. They can also be a part of each other. I'm just really excited to learn more. And I think that it feels like a natural progression for us. I wonder, and I'm going to ask you as well, like, I wonder if we started with certain other identities because it's easier for us to navigate those because maybe we're a part of them. Maybe there's more conversation about it. And now we're moving into stuff that's a little bit less discussed. At least for me, that's what's coming up for me right now. So,
Absolutely. I've always seen privilege as the reason why I can't see things. It requires extremely intentional, purposeful, directional unlearning. And it's going to probably need like the cues from someone who does not have those same privileges, because I mean, sometimes I may never be able to see it no matter how much I unlearn, unless I'm really listening to the voices of lived experience, like which who is multiply marginalized and oppressed and like is talking about it. I mean, there's so many people talking about it. I mean, it's everywhere. You know, throughout our podcast, I've become like a Twitter stalker of a lot of people, because I'm like, what do they have to say about this? Right. Because COVID is a mass disabling reality. It's not about if you'll be disabled. It's when aging as a general process in the body is also, and when, not if.
Yeah.
I can't remember if I said that wrong, but anyways, when, not if. Whatever I said first, that's what I
meant. You're right.
Okay. And so it's something for all of us to unpack and investigate. And particularly in my work supporting other people, like anyway, right? Teaching other people, being in sessions with other people, having a podcast, anything like that. To not dive into that, I think would be one of the most inauthentic things I could possibly do, because I'm so interested genuinely in things being anti-oppressive. You know, I got COVID for the first time last fall, but I've been leaving my house this whole time. Like, it, like in terms of the whole pandemic so far, some people have not left their house, right? Because they can't risk it. And just noticing the divide between that itself, there's so many spaces like that. And, you know, we have a guest this season that I was so excited said yes, Imani Barberin. A person that I Twitter stalk, who actually wrote a tweet recently. I think it was in December. Ableism is wild because it is quite literally the accelerator for almost all oppression. Right. I'm like, so eugenic frames of mind, ableist frames of mind, ways of being, institutions and governments are just going to be oppressive across the board. So it's starting to make me realize that ableism, is everywhere. And so it's not just me who has to learn to see it. It's something I'd like to encourage other people to do. And to directly answer your question about, like, did we start with things that I have more proximity to so I feel more comfortable? Oh, absolutely.
Right.
My privilege is a wonderful guide for that. Right? I'm like, ooh, let's do this thing I'm more comfortable with. But I noticed that something you and I are doing, like on the theme of this, is we're getting more and more uncomfortable all the time. But it's not a bad kind of discomfort. It is a purposeful one. It's a place where we can learn. And it's a place where ultimately I find more comfort, because like challenging these internalized things of things that we experience and channelizing things I don't experience. The way that we can interact with the world, that I feel like I can interact with the world when I can just see things more clearly in that way, is also why I feel calmer within myself. I mean, I get more furious because the world is infuriating. Like I get so mad. It's also when we watch things like a genocide and ethnic cleansing and like, oh, what if we start war in multiple countries and other horrible things that our country is participating in, enabling right at this very moment. Like noticing that ableism is oppressive everywhere is something that keeps me paying attention in a way that I used to avoid before. So that feels like a direction worth going. Like that feels like I'm to use one of my words for this year, it feels like I'm a functional member of the world versus one who's just sort of not functional, right? Not supporting anyone, not paying attention in a way that feels important. And so, yes, I appreciate you calling us out. I think that's absolutely true. I think that's pretty normal experience to be like, I'm going to start with the things that are make me comfortable. Because I can really freak myself out if I go too fast. So I also want to like honor that for us, that like starting low and going slow is a major theme that I try to embrace in my life. And so that feels really good what we've done. And I'm ready to be more sweaty, more nervous, more uncomfortable, more unsure. Probably with a higher propensity to make mistakes, but being really open to those experiences and learning from them. Like, I actually feel like we're becoming more human in this process, which is something that you've highlighted to me many times before. And like, I love being more human and seeing other people as more human and just like sitting in our shared humanity together in the ways that resonate, the ways that can connect. And the word we were kind of playing with maybe is our shared word, humble, like, right? I love Ooh. Being humbled. I love the feeling in my body of, you don't know anything about this. You have got to start mm-hmm. learning about this, or this feeling mm-hmm. of like, ooh. So I can't see it. I didn't know to think about this on my own. Or sometimes, you know, like we talk a lot about nuance, but there's also, and false dichotomies, but there's actual dichotomies. Like, that's fucking wrong. Like, that's horrible. Yeah. That's wrong. There's no debate about that. I like having that kind of clarity too. And I don't get that from the comfortable shying away from stuff yes. space. I get that mm-hmm. from the leaning in. This is probably going to make me cry or feel hard, or I'm going to get really sweaty and nervous, but I want to do it. I want to know what's on the other side and during this yeah. experience. Mm-hmm. So I love, that's really interesting. It's like you gave us an opportunity to summarize the journey so far of like how openness can keep becoming more open.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. expansiveness can keep getting more expansive, and spaciousness right. can have more spaciousness. Mm-hmm. But it's actually simpler. It's not simple or easy, but it's more mm-hmm. easeful and simpler to mm-hmm. like, I can feel my nervousness right now, right? Like, just to explore it. I'm like, but it's clearer. Clearer. Yeah. Yeah. It's like more transparent, maybe would be the word.
It's almost like nervous excitement, honestly. Yeah. Like, I'm nervous, I'm excited yeah. to do it, but I'm also like, ooh, mm-hmm. there's some apprehension, but like not enough to avoid it, I guess. Yeah. I can't think of the right term. I don't know. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. It's like we're mm-hmm. interested in it. We're curious about it. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm curious about all of it. Right. That's mm-hmm. something that you and I experience in many areas of our relationship together. We love being curious about something yeah. and like having a mm-hmm. good time and learning something. Like, these things really drive us forward. And so I love, mm-hmm. I love that they're finding, you know, what I'm noticing is the podcast is becoming more us over time, and it's supporting my ability to be human, just sort of getting that in this moment, which is really incredible yeah. feeling.
I hadn't realized that until you just said that. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. This is like our playground for our humanity, is maybe how I'd describe that, which makes me like suddenly in a new way obsessed with our podcast.
I know. Let's be even more obsessed.
I love that.
I do too. I really, really yeah. do. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It reminds mm-hmm. me of the phrase to be vulnerably honest, which I think is like a podcast title or a book title. I don't know, but I love that phrase. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, someone else's, but I still love that.
Yeah. That's beautiful. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I can't wait to explore this. I am nervously excited. Same. And like, dear listeners, when we tell you we're going to be talking about this, like, I mean, we're going to dive deep. Like, I know that we are because of the conversations we've set up. Mm-hmm. And I can't wait.
Me too. Me yeah. too. We've also been noticing that continued embodiment journeys and deep dives into them really aren't possible without a cultural shift. Just like we were just talking about, right?
Yes.
Including a commitment to justice and liberation related to the most marginalized humans and bodies in the world. Let's talk about it. It's coming yes. up for you.
Justice and liberation are two of my favorite words
mm-hmm.
that exist. They're also two of the most misrepresented and misunderstood words. They get thrown around a lot. I mean them, and again, I'm going to use a word to define a word, but I mean them both in their most liberated sense, right? Like, liberation, like truly getting free, right? So if we think about the situation in Palestine, people are like, you want them to have their land back? I'm like, no, I do. Mm-hmm. And they're like, what about people yes. here, like in the United States, aka Turtle Island? What if they want their land back? I was like, I think that's a really good idea.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't deserve mm-hmm. to have it taken away. It's a pretty right. radical perspective of people who have been harmed, like having the chance to be free, free to make their own choices, free in an agency autonomy way, free in a safety way. Like, just like, mm-hmm. I mean, this planet that we live on and the people on it can be really toxic to those directions, those ideas, very oppressive, very suppressive.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And to think about true justice, which feels pretty darn fleeting in this country right now, and then really truly liberated and liberation oriented things. Again, like I was saying earlier, it asks me to pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
And like, we've talked about that before. It's like people most on the margins, but like, I'm noticing that the more that I pay attention in this area, it doesn't feel like that's the margins at all. It feels like the center of what I should be paying attention to. And so it feels radical because it feels like I differ from society at large in that way. And I'm very interested in connecting with people who have that same kind of energy. What if it doesn't have to be like this? What if it doesn't have to be so hard? What if it doesn't have to be so dangerous? What if it doesn't have to be so challenging and complex? What if it doesn't have to be up to anyone but yourself, right? Those kinds of things are really interesting to me. And acknowledging what I said earlier, knowing the privileges I have, I'm not always going to be the best voice for choosing what those answers should be. Like, what is the most just justice-driven or liberation-driven? So I'm interested in hearing what people have to say and experimenting with those things. I think it's really important. And in some ways, to acknowledge ways in which I can contribute or think about that with my own body. I have multiple disabilities. I rarely use that word in relation to myself. Like that feels worth doing too, like getting my liberation, getting my justice, getting that sort of space. I think one encourages the other. Because it should be collective if it's going to work. And so it feels, I don't know, collectively intentional and important. I have many other words for this and like thoughts about this, but mostly I'm just interested and curious, absorbing new information about it. And like a challenge to myself is to like act more in this way, not just inside of a session with clients that I am doing. And I have supervisors who check me on that. It's like, where am I choosing comfort or proximity to something over the justice and liberation thing? It's more like that in my life. Like where am I noticing or not noticing that choice is happening? That made me really sweaty because it's not an easy thing to do, but I think it's really important. And I want it to get easier by practicing. It doesn't always have to stay hard there. How about you? How those shows up for you, justice and liberation?
Well, everything you just said is making my head spin a little bit, but
I made my own head spin, so that makes sense.
Right.
I was like, oh my gosh, really... I could talk about this forever, but I'm going to stop myself because I'm here. I want to learn through our podcast. I want to be present with this and not like make any decisions ahead of time about how that should go again, because I don't know that I can see through my privilege and predict that so accurately. Yeah. So I'm just interested in how it goes.
Absolutely. One thing that you said that's sticking in my head, and I'm sure I'm not going to say it correctly, but the idea of how when you are focusing on these marginalized beings, these marginalized experiences, identities, that they become more centered for you. And I'm like, that's just, it's like this, I can like see this beautiful like image of like, it, like being on the outside of this, like, I don't know why it looks like a donut, but a donut, I don't even eat donuts. I'm like, I love pastries, but I hate a donut. So who knows? It's like going, it's like the outside crust. And like, now it's become like the donut hole. Like that's what's happening in my head. And it's just a really beautiful, you know, just kind of seeing how things can change within you and how once it becomes the center for you, now I really need to do something about it. That's just what kind of showed up for me. And I was really interested in you saying like you have multiple disabilities, because when we were just talking about it a second ago, I almost, when I'm talking about my internalized ableism, almost said like I have clinical depression. Like there's no doubt about it. I've had it most of my life and it could be seen as a disability, but then like my head is like, you don't get to say that. You're too privileged for that. You don't get to, but like, that's an experience for me. Like, we've had this podcast, this is our fourth season, that I can tell you already at the top of my head, two periods where I felt absolutely debilitated by my depression and was for a few weeks. So it's interesting, like, and I'm having this whole conversation in my head right now that I'm going to hold on to it, but like, it's not the depression Olympics. It's more about finding that, just discussing that nuance that can come along with ability, because I have so much privilege within the ability within my body, even within my mind, because I have so many protective factors that make sure that I can get out of where I am, support, therapy, medication, all of that, you know.
Also time to rest, you know, because that was such a theme for us.
The biggest one. Yeah.
you know, I have multiple chronic illnesses. I have multiple mm-hmm. forms of chronic pain, and they can all kick up at one time. That happens to me very rarely, mm-hmm. but like all my only choice is to lay in bed.
Yeah.
Like is, mm-hmm. is my thought at that time, but that's because I'm privileged enough to yes. have a space. Mm-hmm. I work for myself. I set my mm-hmm. own schedule. Mm-hmm. I can say, hi, I can't participate today. I will reschedule with you once I feel yeah. better. It's something that I tell people that they will experience with me. Like I'd like to normalize that my body is going to say absolutely not some days when I wake up. Mm-hmm. My brain might be there, but I might be in my bed. Right. Yeah. And I'd be covered in yep. ice packs or heating mm-hmm. pads or mm-hmm. something like that. Like, you know, yeah. just needing to have a sense of regulation physically that I can't achieve by sitting in a chair and holding space for someone else. And so this is so important. I love that you and I are talking about this because even, you know, I find in you a source of support and normalizing when I'm having a day when my body can't. Yeah. Right.
And you've done the same for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I've had an autoimmune.
That's
flare.
A really yeah. rare mm-hmm. Friendship space in my life. Yeah. You're far more than mm-hmm. a friend to me. You know that. But like there, like right, there's same. Like a sense of mutuality and understanding and humanization mm-hmm. and affirmation that makes it easier.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Because it's, I struggle every time I have to take a day off or multiple days off, or like when I got COVID last fall, weeks off, yeah. right? Like mm-hmm. it hit me really hard because it hit those systems and things that already yes. exist in me. And mm-hmm. I was feeling them all at once. It was really challenging. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so the, like just honoring the restfulness, restoration, mm-hmm. like the full word that we might need. But also honoring trying something like when we're like, let's not yeah. record today or like, no, I just can't do it today. Or like, mm-hmm. can we do it an hour later or any sort of permission like that mm-hmm. is so anti-ableist. It feels yes. really special and very mm-hmm. justice and liberation driven. Like we're talking about, like sometimes mm-hmm. it's about a one-on-one relationship where we're like, go do your free thing. Go do whatever makes yeah. you feel free. You're in pain, at least be free. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And so there's, it's just an interesting place. Yeah. Mm-hmm. My head is kind of swimming about this because yeah. I have not been touching this topic, but it's also why I'm excited to talk about it. Like I just yeah. have mm-hmm. the most incredible, strong sense of like, this is a really important direction to go. So yeah. thanks for listening to me when I said that, like, this is what I want to talk about.
I was like, ooh.
And
yes, obviously we need to do this. Yeah.
Neurodivergence mm-hmm. and the whole neurodiversity spectrum itself. Mm-hmm. Is a disability. There's full yeah. of disabling things, right? Mm-hmm. Ehlers-Danlos and hypermobility in your body, something. I don't have Ehlers-Danlos, but I have hypermobility.
I have hypermobility, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then autoimmune things. That was a part of it. Yeah, hormonal things, right? I have a stack yeah. of hormonal pain and conditions that are diet, all yeah. these hormonal things. Mm-hmm. And then other, you know, these are all actually neurodivergences themselves. They don't have the endocrine system, the hormone system doesn't happen without the nervous system being involved mm-hmm. or paying attention. Those mm-hmm. are neurodivergent things themselves. And so yeah. I'm just excited to, I don't know, normalize the shit out of the complexity of these things.
Yeah.
Taking the space that we need, finding the information that feels regulating and supportive, and continuous mm-hmm. ongoing consent and permission. That's something you and I yes. practice a shit ton. Like we practice it all so the time with each other. Constantly. It's my most mm-hmm. sacred part of any communication. And you and I yeah. do it so deeply and mm-hmm. so constantly. Like I kind of feel like we're exploring that in the podcast season this year. And too. I'm yeah. so excited about that. Right? Permission is yeah. very liberating. Like no one needs permission from anyone else. What have we been calling? We've been calling them reminders, right? You don't need my permission. So I'm just going to remind yeah. you.
Here's a reminder. Right?
Like what
that your body
there,
needs to go to bed. Yes. Yeah.
What you and I have been doing there with language. I can't wait to find more like nuggets like that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because honestly, that's like one of the rare ones I have where I'm like, oh, reminder, like those distinctions. It's just, yeah. I can't wait.
Me too. I'm so excited.
I'm so excited.
So can't believe this is season four. And also, of course, it's season four. Like I'm just thrilled to pieces. Just thrilled.
Yeah. So when this episode airs, you can expect to have this podcast come at you the first Thursday of every month through November or through mm-hmm. October. Now I can't remember.
September, actually. I'm not
That's
sure.
Okay. I wrote it down because you know I'm super organized now. Okay. Yeah. It's the first Thursday of November will be the last one. So it's more, I would call this our pace is what we're kind of finding. I can already tell it's going to be more our pace. where we still get to be our full human selves and play around in this fun little talking playground that we get to do together. So I'm fucking thrilled.
So fucking thrilled. I love you.
Yeah, I love you. I can't wait. And to all of you listening, we can't wait to see you next month. Start exploring all of these themes and having you hear us be sweaty and nervous and all the giggling that comes with that and all the other stuff.
We're always going to be sweating for you.
Okay, can't wait to see you then. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to season 4 of the Embodiment for the Rest of Us podcast. Episodes will be published the first Thursday of every month-ish, in case we need some little room, wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also find all podcast content, including the transcript and show notes, on our website, embodimentfortherestofus.com.
And follow us on social media, on both Twitter at embodimentus and on Instagram at embodimentfortherestofus. We look forward to continuing this evolving and expanding conversation in our next episode.